Good morning, everyone. It is Good Friday, the beginning of Holy Week, Easter week for Christians around the world, perhaps the most somber and important holiday. In America, we focus on Christmas maybe more than Easter, but for the global Christian community, Easter is really the most important holiday. And it's all about reexamining your relationship with Jesus Christ, with your God, with your church, with your community. And for Catholics, it's certainly about reexamining one's relationship with the Vatican hierarchy, which is involved in so much turmoil with the latest sex allegations from Germany to Ireland to Milwaukee, Wisconsin, which have involved allegations of tolerance for sex abuse on the part of Pope Benedict when he was Cardinal Ratzinger. But how relevant is all this and even the fortunes of the Vatican to the faith of Catholics who are gathering around the world to begin their celebration of Easter Holy Week? Joining us now is Julie Davis, graphic designer from Dallas. How you doing, Julie?
Great, thanks.
Are you a lifelong Catholic or recently converted?
I converted in 2000, so the Easter will be my 10th Catholic birthday.
Well, congratulations. And Scott Pomfret joins us. Scott, are you a lifelong Catholic?
I am, John, from a long line.
All right. He's the author of the memoir Since My Last Confession and is a writer of some gay romance novels, The Romantics Line. He joins us from Boston. And Rocco Palmo, who spoke with us just a moment ago, writes the blog Whispers in the Loggia, which covers news from the Vatican. It's a hugely popular blog, 14 million readers, and he joins us from Philadelphia. Rocco, thanks for being with us.
Anytime, John.
So to all three of you, you know, and Rocco there at the top of the hour really sort of set the conflict, the quandary for many Catholics. There are all kinds of relationships in one's Catholic identity. There's a relationship between an individual priest. There's a relationship between oneself and the Pope, relationship between oneself and God. And then there's the relationship between oneself and one's Catholic community. At a time like this, with all these news stories, caroming off the ether, how do you evaluate that, Julie Davis?
It doesn't really change my personal faith, and I think it's interesting to watch the news media going back and forth about it because everything's happening so fast, and the Vatican's just not going to essentially move that fast, and it doesn't really seem to affect me or the people I know because maybe we've been through it before with the American scandals.
Right. Well, you know, Rocco Palmo, one of the ironies of this scandal and this idea of do we focus on the Vatican or do we focus on our personal faith, this has been an issue of how much power does the Vatican have within the Catholic Church or how much does it define one's religion. This has been an issue for a long, long time, independent of any scandal.
John, but I mean, it's you know, and thanks to modern technology, if anything, you know, back in the 1700s, Catholics barely knew who the Pope was.
Interesting.
But now, especially because of the pontificate of John Paul II, who died 5 years ago today, everyone feels like, like the president's always on TV, and so everyone feels like they know him. There's a much more of a sense of intimacy here.
Scott Pomfret, where do you come down on this? Is your personal faith more the definition of your Catholicism or the fortunes of the Vatican?
You know, John, the fortunes of the Vatican, when I look at this story, I keep saying to myself, this isn't 2000, this is 2010. And in 2000, when the scandal first broke in Boston, you know, that was, a profound effect on people's personal faith and certainly mine in particular. To me, this is just a little bit more of the same. Mm-hmm. And the only thing that makes it different is that it is the Pope. But even here, we're talking about a failure of oversight as opposed to some of the more egregious moves that some of the bishops made over time.
Is it fair to say, Scott, that part of the reason why this sex scandal, aside from the prurient details that, of course, the media is going to love, it goes directly at this sanctity of the relationship between a priest and one of the faithful, and that when that is compromised in such a horrible way, it really reverberates throughout all of the relationships within the church. Scott?
You know, John, I think that's true, but to be honest, what I hear from Catholics in Boston is not so much the individual breaking of faith between the priest and the person abused, but rather the breaking of the faith between a bishop who protects that priest rather than looking out for the best interest of the spiritually broken person who was abused.
Julie, you know, so often when you speak to people who call themselves lapsed Catholics, many people point, though, to scandals like like this through the history of the church is a reason why they don't attend services anymore, why they aren't celebrating Easter Mass maybe in a church.
Oh, yeah, and my father, who was an atheist, he absolutely hated the church, and one of the reasons was that the American scandal. But your faith, it's a horrible thing, of course, because that's giving people a reason to turn away from God when, of course, the priest is there to do exactly the opposite, ideally. But then, if you're looking at it, people are people are people throughout time. And so once the first horror of what's happened is over, you kind of have to get a grip, and if you're going to remain Catholic, you have to look at the bigger picture. Hmm. And I was just thinking about my mother-in-law, who would talk about in her day a priest who was too attracted to women or who drank. And they didn't like it, but they looked at it and said, well, that's his human nature. He needs to try to avoid that more. Hmm. They weren't scandalized by it as much as, well, of course, this is a worse thing, but you get the point.
A kind of notion of forgiveness there, given the tensions and the difficulties of the priesthood itself. Julie Davis is a graphic designer from Dallas who writes the Happy Catholic blog. Scott Pomfret is the author of the memoir Since My Last Confession and has written extensively on the sex scandals in Boston between the Catholic Church and the members of the faithful. Rocco Palma, we'll conclude with you here. The Whispers in the Loggia blog, what are people saying about where this goes? Is this a testing of the faith of Catholics, and the church will, emerge stronger from this, or is this ultimately divisive?
Well, there's been a very divided reaction, at least I've seen, among people in the church. Some, more conservative Catholics saying, this is an injustice against the Pope, this rehashing of old stories, but more progressive Catholics saying, well, we have to get everything out now. The church has not been proactive in terms of communicating, and the only place where this stuff is broken over the years, these stories are broken, have been in the secular press, and that's really forced the church to action. And really the answer is, especially from the scandals in Ireland, is just the church has to renew itself, purify itself.
Yeah. And that's what Easter is all about. Rocco Palma writes the blog Whispers in the Loggia, covers the Vatican from Philadelphia.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.